Yes, I tell you what, today we come together in the name of love. That's what we're doing. We're coming together as one church. We're coming together as one team. We're coming together as one man, one woman, and we're coming together in the name of love because we say, man, there's darkness all around us that we feel God is calling us to continue to shatter. And so, you know, we believe that it's not good that there are tens of hundreds of thousands of people right here around us in our community that live in our neighborhoods, that work next to us, who are not connected to a healthy local church. We believe that, you know, decades from now, there are going to be people that are growing up in the Indianapolis area that will tell their grandchildren, hey, kids, guess what? Back when I was your age, there were a bunch of freedom fighters up from the north side of Indianapolis, a group by the name of Cross Point, who lifted me and my family up and out of poverty and got me to a new place so that you don't experience what I grew up with. I believe right now there's a girl on the other side of the world who's in forced prostitution who one day will sit around and tell her grandchildren, listen, kids, me, my friends, we were rescued and taken to a place where we could have our wholeness restored because of a bunch of game changers that said, hey, we're not going to play the way the game is normally played. We're going to play differently. So that's why we're here today. We're here because we want to be game changers in the world. And so when you came in today, you received a weekly, and inside is a commitment envelope, a game change commitment envelope. If you are connected to Cross Point, if you are somebody who is a part of this church, or you, this is the place you call home, I want you to take that out. We're going to lift the lights a little bit. I want you to take your pen, and we're not going to put any numbers on this, but I want you to begin to fill in the logistical stuff, your name, your address, your city, email. This is important stuff for us to have accurate on record. And here's the thing. Today, we're not really going to think about what we're doing. Many of us already done that. We're not really going to pray. We've been doing that. We are going to do what God has been calling us to do. We're doers. We're going to get after it. We're going to get it done. And so fill this out. The numbers, we'll do that in a bit. We're not going to get to the numbers yet. Now, if you're a guest this morning, listen, your face is probably melting off right now. You're like, oh my word, what did I step into? Well, we're in week five of this thing called the Game Change Campaign. Today, as Eric said, is commitment weekend. And so for the last 5 weeks, we've been in this intense journey of surrendering, of listening, and then of processing, okay, God, how am I going to do what you're calling me to do? And the money is really a byproduct. This is about us getting connected to Jesus and following through with what he's calling us to do. And so we're not going to ask you to interact with this envelope. The connection card is your tool today. But we're asking this community to give above and beyond what we've been giving to the Game Change campaign over the next 3 years. And so we're going to get after doing that very thing today. So let me pray for us before we dive into this any further. God, thank you that we can gather in this place. Thank you for every single person who's here today. And thank you for such a time as this. God, it's amazing that you are enlisting us right now. You are pulling us in, inviting us to join you in this kingdom initiative of going against all the things in our community and region and even throughout the world that are not good, things that are creating bondage and brokenness. And God, it's good that you would include us in this. And we just ask today, and I pray that you would meet every single one of us exactly where we are. God, I pray that you would do something unique in us today. God, I pray that we would hear you today and that we would respond, that we would follow through. God, thank you for being an awesome God. And God, we just pray these things according to your reputation and your name and the character of Jesus. Amen. Well, today, as we've been talking about throughout this series, this journey, Cross Point is at a crossroads. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to go left. We don't have to go right. We don't have to go forward. We could enjoy the nice, comfy place that we're at, but we never grow when we're there. And so we feel like God is calling us to go forward and continue to push forward in major kingdom initiatives. Now, it's interesting, about a week ago Friday, I was in Cleveland, and I was taking my son to a Cavs game. He's a huge LeBron James fan, and man, I'm a Pacer fan. I love the Pacers, but I love that my son loves LeBron James. I think he's like the ultimate teammate. I don't know if there's a more unselfish player out there. In fact, here's a picture from the evening. You know, we get to sit by the tunnel, and I love that LeBron's standing there. Second, third stringers are playing, and he's up cheering his teammates on, because that's what a teammate does. And when we were heading to Cleveland on that 4.5, 5-hour drive, I was reminded of this video. Man, I want to show it to you this morning because it just inspires me every single time I see it. So take a look at this.
We're going to bring it on in. It's time now. It's all city. We got to do it for them, dog. We got to do it for Cleveland. They're waiting on us. What we do tonight is going to define what we're about.
Thank you. every single night, every single practice, every single game. We got to give it all we got, because they're going to ride with us. Everything that we do on this floor, because of this city, we owe them. We're going to grind for this city. They're going to support us, man, but we got to give it all back to them. We get it done. The toughness that we have on the court is going to come from this city. Everybody, the whole city of Cleveland, that's what it's all about. It's time to bring them something special. Let's go. Bring it on in, everybody. Let's go. Let's go. Hard work on three. Together on six. One, two, three.
Hard work.
Four, five, six.
Together.
Hard work on three. Together on six. One, two, three.
Hard work.
Four, five, six.
Together.
Here we go, man. Hard work on three. Together on six. One, two, three.
Hard work.
Four, five, six.
Together.
Here we go, right here. Let's get it. It's all us. Cleveland on three. One, two, three.
Cleveland!
Man, why does that move me the way it does? Every time I see that, I say to Julie, we're moving to Cleveland. We're going to Cleveland. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part. You know, I think part of the reason is because if you know anything about Cleveland, man, they have been through difficult as a city. And I think there's something about that that is an image of sacrifice. I think there's something about that image that's an image of selflessness about a team, a bunch of NBA players who could just ride the high life saying, hey, we're going to step out of the humdrum life and we're going to bring a hope to this community because they're in desperate need of it. We're going to bring a rallying point. Well, today we get to do that. Back in the very first week of the Game Change campaign, we talked about how David, little King David, how he went against the Goliath, and he won because he used different weapons. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, Crosspoint, by some people, look at Crosspoint as a Goliath. We're not a Goliath. We're a David in this story. I mean, when we think about coming against some of the things, the darkness of our community, we're a David, man. We're, you know, we feel like there are things that we're coming against that we're in an uphill battle on. And we said we want to take off the head of the giants. That's what we're doing through this initiative. You know, we think it's not right that there are tens of thousands of people in our communities all around us that can't articulate what the cross means. That's a problem. And we want to bring light into those situations. And today we get to fund that. And so some of us are going to be enlisted in that today. You know, one of the great things about David, one of the things I love about David, is David wasn't just a great warrior. I mean, he was a phenomenal warrior, but David was an awesome worshiper. He really was. Now he had amazing stupidity at times in his life. He had amazing moments of rebelliousness. He had sinfulness in his life. But David had this amazing ability, had such a tender heart, that his heart always turned back to God, even after his sinfulness. And even though we see this rough, tough warrior, you know, exterior on David, I mean, he was a manly man, inside, at his core, he was very, very tender. In fact, in one moment, he's out, he's a king at this point, and he's going through his kingdom. He comes across a parcel of land, and he says, I just want to worship right here. I want to create an altar, I want to worship. And so he goes, and that's what they would do back in those days. So he goes to the owner of that land, Aruna. And he says, hey, I want to worship on your land. And Aruna says, oh, that's awesome. In fact, let me pay the honor and allow you to take sacrifices from my flock. Let me give you the sacrifice for you to make. And look at what David says right here in 2 Samuel. It says, but the king said to Aruna, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. You know, that's the way the normal game is always played, right? If something needs to be done and someone else will pay for it, then man, it's awesome, great. You know, I can sit back, it's cool, somebody else is going to take care of it, do the heavy lifting. I don't lose anything, I get to keep my cake and eat it too. You know, that's the way normal people play the game. But when we're worshiping God, as David shows us right here, we behave differently. We say, no, this is personal right here. I'm not going to let you give me something as my sacrifice. No, he's like, I want, this is personal. This needs to cost me something if I'm going to bring it as worship to God, because I know it's going to adjust me. It's going to adjust me. It's going to tune my heart toward you, God. And so, you know, this is one of the reasons many people are not attracted to churches today, because church is often a passive place. Well, today, we choose the path of aggression. That's what we're doing today. And many of us in here, we sometimes are very passive when it comes to sacrifice. Now, you know, we're very aggressive when it comes to spending. We're very aggressive when it comes to saving. We're very aggressive when it comes to, you know, upgrading. We're very aggressive at funding our kids' athletics and, you know, whatever it takes there. But you know, today may be the very first time that we have the intensity of worship in these next few minutes, because we aggressively sacrifice. And there's something about being aggressive in our sacrifice. It just inspires me. I mean, when I see this, it inspires me. In fact, just this past week, I heard the story of someone who is here because of your aggressive sacrifice. Because we as a team have been aggressively going after certain things. And I want you to hear her story and how she too was saying, hey, I want to be aggressive about this too. Take a look at this story.
October 2014, I started going back to church after maybe 10 or 12 years off. I knew for myself that connections are really big. I thrive on human relationships. It's just how I am. So I started looking for churches up here in the Fishers area because this is where I live. And a friend had recommended Crosspoint to me, even though he doesn't come to Crosspoint. So the first time I came, you know, I loved the music. I loved the energy. I thought it was great. It was very modern church. Came out to the lobby, introduced myself to Kurt and Eric after the first service, and you know, thought, okay, I liked it, I'll come back next week. And I've been coming since July. So I think it was probably 2 or 3 weeks after I started coming to Crosspoint, they were offering the Starting Point class, which was for people that were new to their faith or coming back to their faith. So it was perfect timing for me, because that was exactly what I was looking for at the other church that I was going to. So it was an 8-week class, met a couple people in there. You know, and I think the biggest thing that I learned in that class is that I don't have to do things to prove my loyalty to Jesus or do things to earn Jesus's love. The biggest thing that I learned is that as long as I accept him in my heart, then he accepts me for me. The Starting Point class ended right when the Brave Journey was starting. So I joined one of those groups, and I was terrified because in my mind, I was going to join this group and everybody was going to be, you know, very deep in their walk with Jesus. They're going to be perfect Christians. And I was going to come in and feel inadequate, like, hey, I don't understand that scripture. You got to slow this down for the girl that just came back to church. But I would say probably about within an hour of the first meeting, I realized that that wasn't the case, that everybody has things that they're dealing with, not just me. And I knew that I was in the right group. I include Jesus in my day every day now. So I've learned to fully rely on him, to trust in him, to surrender my worries to him, to not stress out about things as much as I used to not try to control everything like I used to. And I've just really realized that as long as I give everything that I need to Jesus, and I'm in touch with him about my worries, my concerns, thank him for the good things, it's like this overwhelming peace that I have in my life. I realized that during the Brave Journey, really. And so at the end of the Brave Journey, I made the decision to get baptized. I mean, I knew it was a huge deal for me, but I didn't realize that it was something that was such a huge deal to other people. So after I got baptized, when I came up out of the water, it was like this feeling that I had never had in my life. And when I told people about it, you know, outside of church, they're all like, why didn't you tell me? Like, we would have come and celebrated with you. But I didn't realize before what a big deal it was until afterwards. And that was in November. And ever since then, I feel like every week my relationship with Jesus changes and I get to know him better. I'm more open to talking to people about my faith. I wouldn't say I was ever like ashamed, but you know, you'd never want to be that person that people are like, oh, you're always, you know, pushing Jesus on me. And now it's like with my relationship with Jesus, I don't see it as I'm pushing something on somebody. I just see it as I'm so overwhelmed with the love that I feel from Jesus every day, and I can see him working in my life and other people's lives, that I'm not afraid to share that with people anymore. when I was growing up, church was something that we had to go do. It was an obligatory thing. I was never really connected to it. Now it's a want to. I get excited to come here every week. It's the highlight of my week. If I'm out of town, I'm sad that I miss it. Listen to the podcast. Like, I don't miss anything that's going on. So I'm making a commitment for the game change because of the impact it's had on my life in such a short amount of time, that I want as many people as possible to experience the power and growth within this group of people here.
Man, let's thank Colleen for sharing her story. Awesome story. Really, really cool. You know, today there are going to be a number of us who are going to use this envelope, and we're going to write a different number. Every single one of us are going to have a different number on here. And here's what I want us to understand. You know, the way the game is normally played is it's all about the amount, right? It's all about the amount. The bigger amount you can do, you know, the more important you are, the bigger the amount, the more happy God is with you. But see, that's not the way it works. It's not about the amount, it's about the cost. It's not about the amount, it's about the cost. This is how the kingdom works. It's possible to have a relatively, you know, quote-unquote, smaller amount as we turn these in today, and yet that gift be more honorable, more pleasing to God than a bigger amount. And one of the best ways that Jesus illustrated this is a time when he was in a setting very similar to this. He was watching people put money into a box, kind of like a joy box. Yeah, and you know, and so he, let me just read it for you. It comes to us in Mark chapter 12. It says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put two small copper coins in, which make a penny." And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than those who are contributing to the offering box. For they have all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." I mean, it's like Jesus is watching, and he's seeing people put in higher amounts, and based on what they're wearing, he's like, oh, they're people from higher means. And then this woman comes, and he sees what she puts in, and it's not like, he notices it's a smaller amount, not because she's dressed haggardly or anything, but because he literally, like, hears it hit the box. And he sees that, and he all of a sudden notices, and he doesn't make some big teaching out of it. It's not like he stops everything that's going on. But you know what he does? He pulls his disciples aside. He says, hey, he kind of wants to communicate and model this for them. He says, hey, come here, listen, let me tell you something. Just what just happened right here? Let me tell you what I just saw. This lady gave more. She gave more. See, it's not about the amount, it's about the cost. And today, we get to bring an act of worship to God. And we can bring it, say we know what this money is going to do for the initiatives. It's part of how we can look at it. But I really want us to focus for the rest of our time today on what does this say about my heart? All right, is this an aggressive act of sacrifice that I'm bringing? And is this saying, God, I want to be enlisted. I'm in. I'm following what you've asked me to do. I want to do this. And am I mirroring my life after you, Jesus? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." And so this teaches that Jesus, when he came into existence back some 2,000 years ago, you know, he really didn't come into existence just when he popped through Mary's birth canal. All right, it wasn't, you know, that's when we celebrate his physical coming, his physical existence at Christmas time. But what this says is that God really, Jesus has always been God. Jesus existed with God at the foundation of all eternity. He always has. And this verse says he was rich. He was high and lifted up. Now, I don't know what Jesus was doing before he came down to earth. I don't know if he was sitting up there eating grapes, you know, or being fanned by angels, playing Xbox One before it ever came to be. I don't know, you know. But this says that Jesus modeled sacrifice. It says right here that God models sacrifice. He chooses to take his step out of this high life, and he chooses to go on the downward and to come down and voluntarily choose downward mobility. See, today, The only time you and I choose downward mobility is when it's forced on us. We don't really choose it, right? It's like we're downsized or we're right-sized. Today, what we're doing is choosing downward mobility, and God models this for us. Why does he do this? It's so that you and I can become rich. That's why. Rich spiritually. See, in reality, I'm the one that should be on the altar. In reality, I'm the one that should be slain. When, you know, back in the Old Testament, they'd bring sacrifices to the altar. And the way they would do this is they'd lay the animal out and they'd slit its throat and the blood would run off the altar. And the person bringing the sacrifice would have their hands on the animal. And the whole time they'd be reminded, oh my word, God is so gracious. Look at this animal. God is allowing this animal to die on my behalf. I mean, I'm the one that should be here, but God is being very generous to me. So Jesus, he comes. And he's the perfect animal, and he goes to the altar, and he becomes poor. He bleeds for me. He doesn't write a check. He goes way deeper than that. He bleeds for me. He bleeds for you so that you and I could be rich. He's bleeding so you and I could become spiritually rich. You're rich spiritually because of the blood that Jesus bled. So today, if we want to walk like Jesus, if we want to imitate Jesus, if we want Jesus' power coursing through our veins, you know, every once in a while, I have to bleed. Every once in a while, I have to bleed. Imitating Jesus means, at times, I bleed like Jesus. Have you ever bled voluntarily? Have you ever bled? You know, Jesus stretches out his arms and he bleeds. He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to become poor so you and I can become rich. You know, there's certain things in my belief structure that I know right now I believe that are not true. Now, I don't know what those things are, all right? If I knew what they were, I'd change them, all right? But every now and then, I come across things and I realize, oh my word, I've been believing this and this is not true. And part of the way I know this is I used to believe certain things that I've changed. In fact, one of the things I grew up with was, you know, when I was early on in my following of Jesus, I was kind of taught this idea that people would always say, well, you know, don't do anything big until you have a peace, all right? Have a peace. I'm like, well, I need to go do this thing though. Well, do you have a peace about it? Well, no. All right, well, don't go do it. You need to have a peace before you go do anything big. You know, and so I never really took any steps to do anything difficult until I could have a peace, which usually was never. All right, I'll tell you right now, if you came in with your game change envelope filled out or you're sitting there holding it right now, you do not have a peace right now, all right? Your butt is puckering more than it ever has. You're like, oh, my word, I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. There is not a peace. And some things we will never have a peace over, all right? And so you know what I did? I thought, well, gosh, everybody has something to say about this. I'll just go to the Bible. I'll do the crazy thing and just go see what the Bible has to say. So I started looking at the Bible for, you know, and I'm like, oh, my word. From beginning to end, God constantly invites all these different people to join him in what he's doing, these big initiatives. And you know what? They don't have a peace. They're butt puckering. They're like, oh, God, you really want me to do that? I can't do that. In fact, think about Jesus. Let's start with Jesus. Jesus, we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He's just about, this is right before he's about to become poor. This is right before he's about to go to the cross. And what is he doing? He's sweating drops of blood. Dude has no peace right there, right? He is stressed out. In fact, the disciples overhear him praying. They're just a short distance away. This is how we get some of the words of Jesus. People are close to him. They write down what he's saying, and he's saying something like this to God. God, I just pray that you would remove this cup from me. Would you please remove this thing that's before me? But not my will be done, but yours. Doesn't have a peace. And imitating Jesus. Imitating Jesus means at times I bleed. Now, it's not all the time. This is why Jesus is so beautiful. I mean, Jesus is kind of a conundrum at times, right? Because, I mean, you can't just say, well, go sell everything you have. You can't have anything. You have to give everything away. Jesus doesn't necessarily do that. The kingdom of God is built on sacrifice and giving and cost. But it's also, this is what we're talking about today, but it's also found in extravagance. I mean, think about one of Jesus' first miracles. What's he do? He turns water into wine. He's at a multi-day long wedding celebration. They run out of wine. And so he's like, man, that's a problem. He goes, he takes some water, and he creates the best vino they have ever had. I mean, they're like, man, rock on, Jesus is here. We're going to continue the party. All right? You know, we see this in Jesus. You know, Jesus, all the time, he's throwing parties. We see him going to parties people are throwing. We see him hanging out with people who are throwing banquets. Which means these are people that have means, right? And Jesus is never like, well, you can have means and get in the kingdom of God. I mean, Jesus does have some very curt words for those that have more. But he enjoys hanging out with these people. He says, hey, you have an incredible opportunity. He's very comfortable with people who have resources. But today we're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about cost. And I'm calling all of us, every single one of us who call Cross Point home, who say, hey, I'm connected here. This is the source where I receive encouragement, life. This is where I connect with Jesus. I'm calling you to consider making a 3-year commitment and to bleed, to sacrifice and to lay down your life. Book of 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on. Says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let's break this verse down a bit right here, all right? First thing I see says, for me to get more in my life, I've got to give more in my life. That's the first thing Paul's saying right here. Now he's not talking about financial remuneration right here. All right, this is how the televangelists have kind of bastardized this verse right here. They're like, if you want to give, you're going to give. You're going to get more. If you want more, you got to give. You're going to win the lottery or something like that. You know? No, it's not that way. All right, that's not what we're talking about. He's not talking about bringing you another paycheck, though I will say Julie and I have experienced financial breaks many times in our life, and we're kind of like, man, we don't know where that came from. Maybe that's a result of our generosity. We don't know. But this is about when I sacrifice like Jesus sacrifices, I actually receive something. When I imitate Jesus, I get more of him in my life. When I sow generously, I receive more of his grace and presence in my life because I identify with him. I identify with him. See, some of us, we've been capped out spiritually. We've been going through this journey. You're like, man, I'm just not feeling it. Just not feeling it. All right, you've been capped out, and I'm telling you, you've got to consider that maybe it's because you've stopped sowing seed. Maybe you've become very sparingly in sowing seed, and part of getting more open and more presence and more sensing of God working is to begin identifying more and imitating Jesus more, choosing downward mobility, saying I'm gonna do with less and I'm gonna be more generous with my time, with my money. I'm gonna bleed. I'm gonna willfully do this. It also says this. It says each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And so this is really cool because, you know, in 9 years of Cross Point's history, amount of time we've existed, it's cool in moments like this that I can say, hey, over the course of 9 years, we've always stayed true to our word on this. All right, we have a 9-year track record of integrity on this thing. What does that mean? Well, think back 5 weeks. If you were here 5 weeks ago when we started this journey, we said, hey, you're not going to see any thermometers on stage. We're not going to be coloring in a thermometer to reach our goal in this campaign. You know, we're not doing the way things are normally done. We're doing it differently, doing it the kingdom way. And so, you know, we've not been guilting you into, hey, we're coloring a little bit more in, you know, manipulating you into doing more than you know, maybe feel like you're led to do. We haven't, you know, talked fair share at all. Fair share happens. Nobody wins. All right, this isn't fair share. You haven't received an email or a letter from me or a phone call saying, here's your amount, here's what you need to bring. We don't work that way. Why don't we work that way? Because if we gave that to you, then that would be fair share thinking. And when you came, you would be reluctantly coming. You would come to, nobody's coming to give today reluctantly. Nobody's being forced to do this. We're generously doing this because God's moving us on this. We're not repulsed in this. That's a new word. I just found out. Repulsed is a word. All right? Nobody's coming repulsed in their giving. We give because we're choosing the way of Jesus. We're choosing to say, Jesus, I want to sacrifice today. And when I do this in and of my own accord, then there's a cheerfulness, a weird cheerfulness that happens. This is why every time we say Joy Box, yeah, we do that. And if you're new, you can do it too because we get excited. We're like, oh, man, we get excited. Now it's not like, woo, man, so excited, I can't wait to give all my money away. You know, not that. I mean, it's like the word in the scripture is actually hilarity. It's actually the word hilarity. Kind of like, man, my cheeks, I've been smiling so much because I get to do this that my cheeks are hurting. My abdomen's hurting because I'm laughing. It's like a full body experience. And if this is your first time to doing something sacrificial, or maybe you've done this before, but you're just like, oh, you know, what we're going to do today, it's kind of like riding a roller coaster, all right? I am so glad. I love roller coasters. When I get to a theme park, first place we go, roller coasters. And I'm so glad my kids now are old enough and tall enough to ride all the coasters. I tell you what, spending days in Snoopy Land, not fun. I would rather stand in the parking lot on a hot day and have somebody put cotton candy on the back of my kneecaps and stand in Snoopy Land. All right, just Snoopy Land. So you know, but have you noticed the coasters aren't the same today as they used to be? Have you ever noticed that? Like when we see a new ride, man, I know it's going to be fast, but I also know it's going to be safe, right? I know that, you know, in the litigious society we have, an attorney and an engineer has gone over that thing. It's steel. They've gone over it with a fine-tooth comb. I'm not as much as even going to scratch a hangnail by riding that thing, even though I think it's going to freak me out. But I tell you what, the coaster I grew up on, anybody been to Circus World down in Haines City? The Roaring Tiger. Any Roaring Tiger fans in here? Yeah, Eric. Eric and I went to the same place. I tell you what, this is what it was like. I remember sitting for the first time in this seat, and I'm like, "Woo, man, here we go. This is gonna be awesome," you know. And all of a sudden, it's like, "Woo," you know, down the little hill. I'm like, "Oh man, it's awesome." And then it's like, click, 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 click. Click, click, click. Oh, my word. It's really high up here. Click, 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 click. Oh, that was awesome. Oh, no. Click, 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 click. Woo, man. That just a little bit of what it looked like right there, right? That's the sound. Let me tell you something about that. There is a lot of cheer in that moment. I remember it like it was yesterday. There was no peace in that moment, right? No peace at all. There was a lot of intensity and a lot of, whoo, man, oh, here we go again. Whoo. This is what sacrifice always feels like, right? If you've not had that moment, then you've probably not sacrificed. Where it's like, oh, my word, how is this going to happen? As we said, Cross Point is at a crossroads. We don't have to go left or right. We don't have to go forward. We could continue just enjoying where we're at. But today, what we're going to say is we're going forward. We're going to push through the crossroads, and we're going to go to a new place and where our lives are going and how we're impacting those around us. And in the same way, you are at a crossroads as well. Every single one of us, you are going to decide here in these next few minutes if you're going to have a normal life that looks like everybody else around you, if you're going to go left or right, or if you're going to go the way of Jesus and push through the crossroads. Last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, I had the privilege of coaching my daughter's last eighth grade rec basketball game. We got in the car afterwards, and it was, you know, I'm like, "Macy, what's wrong?" And she's like, "That was my last game ever." And I'm like, "Oh my word, you're right." You know, we cry moment. You know, we're both tearing up a little bit, but it was a cool moment. And you know, as a dad and as a coach, you know, you always try to coach all the girls the same. You know, you try to coach everybody the same, but you know that you can't quite do that. You know, your eye is always drawn a little bit more toward your daughter, right? I mean, because you have a vested interest there. I mean, you're watching, you're paying a little more attention to your daughter. And the cool thing for Macy was, you know, Macy, I think she'd scored 2 points all season. And yet I knew she was good for way more than that. And so, you know, Coach Randy and I, we were working with her, and we'd develop all the girls. But every time, you know, Macy got extra coaching. You know, on the way to the game, she'd get extra coaching. On the way home, she got extra coaching. I'd be like, "Macy, you're good for 4 points next time. You're good for six." One, a couple different games, we had our star player gone. I'm like, "Macy, we need 6 points today." "I don't know, Dad. I don't know if I can do it." "You can do this. You can do this." And, you know, it's not about putting pressure. It's appropriate encouragement where you try to help her see, I've prepared you for this. We've worked toward this. Coolest thing happened last Saturday. So there's only 4 teams in our league, and so it was a one-day tournament, end-of-the-season tournament, and we went in, and Macy scored 6 points in the first game. 6 points. I'm like, "Macy." I mean, it's like she was warming up, and she was dropping shots. She's looking at me like, "I don't know what's going on." I'm like, "I don't either, but you need to do that today." And so every time she'd take a shot and she'd hit it, she'd be like, "Ah," you know, and it was so cool. We won the game. Went into the championship game. She scored 4 points in the championship game. We won the tournament. How about that? We won the tournament. In fact, here's my Instagram. Here's our team right here with Coach Randy, who's sitting over here. And the coolest thing about that, Macy scored 5 times the amount of points she scored all season long in one day. And the coolest thing wasn't just that we won. I mean, it's always cool to win, and it's not really about the winning, but, you know, those come few and far between. But it was that on that day, it clicked all of a sudden. All that we'd been building into her, all of a sudden, it's like she got it in that moment and began to do it. Coolest thing as a coach and as a dad. Well, you know, God is a father too. And God today, I believe, is sitting up in your stands, And he's looking down at every single one of us this morning. He's watching you this morning. He's watching you. And I don't say that in a way of guilt or in a way of condemnation or pressure. I'm just saying, hey, God is up there cheering you on. He's watching you with this envelope in your hand. He's saying, hey, listen, I've prepared you for this. I mean, if you've been a part of this journey for the last 5 weeks, you know, you're not coming into this blind. I mean, I've been preparing you, planting the seed, pushing it down, and it's time now to come to the game and to bring your game. It's time. You can do it. He's cheering you on. He's cheering you on. This is why I say, you know, right now, you know, Crosspoint is at a crossroads. We're going to choose whether we're going to go forward or not, but you're at a crossroads too. You know, some of you came in today and you're like, gosh, I don't know. This is what I feel like God's asked me to do. I don't know if I can. It's like being on the roller coaster, but, you know, you can do it. You're ready. You are. You're ready. Let me tell you, you're ready. This is why we go through processes like this every single time. You're ready. You're always ready to choose downward mobility. You're always ready to form and adjust your life toward bleeding and sacrificing and making a commitment outside of yourself. You're always ready for that. And God comes alongside you in that. Today, we push through the crossroads. See, there may come a day when Crosspoint becomes some big giant church and, you know, we're just a bunch of people sitting in here and we're nice and cozy and it's easy to not be challenged, not to do anything different, but today is not that day. There may come a day when people from other churches come into this place because they hear, oh, Crosspoint's a place where you can slide in the back row, don't have to be engaged, don't have to do any heavy lifting, don't have to serve, don't have to give, but guess what? Today is not that day. There may come a day at Crosspoint where we say, hey, let's just like enjoy our nice little holy huddles. Let's just turn inward and enjoy being together. Let's take care of ourselves and never do anything outside of ourselves. But guess what? Today is not that day. There may come a day where there are people in this place from varying different backgrounds, different belief structures, as we have right now. But the difference will be those who are following Jesus, their bank accounts, and where their money goes looks no different than the atheist next door. But guess what? Today is not that day. And so today, we're going to declare ourselves. We're going to use these envelopes, and we're going to bring them as an act of worship to declare ourselves. And we're saying, Jesus, I want to imitate you. Jesus, I want to be more like you. Jesus, I want to be walk in the footsteps of who you are. I want a legacy of downward mobility, of sacrificial living. I want to bleed for those who matter the most to you. And so that's what we're going to do. So I want you to go ahead and take out your envelopes. And again, this is for those who call Crosspoint home. And I want you to take out your envelopes, and hopefully you filled in the logistics part. And now it's time to begin to fill out the numbers part. And so today, we've been asking you to consider bringing a first fruits gift that you can put right here. Top line, and you can actually put it inside the envelope. You can bring it today. You can do it online. PJ and the band, they're going to play. Give us a little space, because I know a few of us may still be working through this. And then, in addition to that, we've been prepping you to say, okay, God, what are you asking me? What are you calling me to bring above and beyond what I normally bring as a commitment that I'm gonna walk out over the next 3 years? You're going to put that number in the second line. And then you're going to total the to-do, and that becomes your total commitment. And so I'm going to give you a moment if you need to talk about this with your spouse, if you need to just, you know, spend another moment getting clear on this. Maybe you came in with a number, and God's challenging that number. I don't know. Maybe you made an advanced commitment number and God's just moving you to a different one. Our goal is that all of us engage. Remember, it's not about the amount, it's about the cost. And it's about us saying, God, I want to tie in. I want to be enlisted in what you're doing and what you're a part of. And I'm going to get a front row seat to watch it come to be. And it's going to change me too. Now, if you're a guest today, the only thing I want to ask you to interact with is the connection card. On the back are some next steps. We give these every single week. We hope you'll come back next week. Maybe come back for Easter Sunday. Invite some of your friends and family. It's going to be an awesome, awesome weekend. It's one of the highlights of the year for us because people that are far from God are willing to come and hear the story of Jesus, or at least that obligation, come to church. Maybe there's some other steps you want to take today. But this is for you. The envelopes are for those who call Crosspoint home.